in a speech when Prime Minister Tony Blair said, "Education, education, education." Translated from politician speak, that emphasis means it was an issue high on his agenda. I'm sure everyone listening would agree. What we're taught, shown, and do in our formative years shapes our futures. Later in life, people often cite their teachers as being the catalyst which signposted the road to their success. As part of our preparation for life, alongside maths, English, and the sciences, it's imperative our children have a rich understanding of how food is produced, have an accurate and positive impression of British farming, an idea of how to cook, and the role food plays in a healthy, balanced diet. As parents wrestle with COVID-19 homeschooling and as teachers refresh materials for the curriculum, you may be surprised to hear AHDB works with the British Nutrition Foundation to offer a compelling education programme encompassing evidence-based resources and training for teachers across the UK. It's all available free on the Food A Fact of Life website. I'm John Bates, and joining me to tell us more about helping teachers teach is Ros Reynolds, AHDB's Head of Education and Nutrition, and Roy Ballam, Managing Director and Head of Education at the British Nutrition Foundation. Roy, I know you're a former teacher, but tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do for the British Nutrition Foundation.
Yes, thanks, John. So I look after really the main operations of the BNF. So I work with my science colleagues and obviously education colleagues. And really, we're trying to ensure that, you know, our big vision is that everyone can access healthy, sustainable diets. And we try and do that by translating that evidence-based information and hopefully putting it over in engaging and actionable ways. And one of the big things, obviously, is to support our teachers out there working hard and obviously the pupils so that they can make good decisions for the future.
Oh, thanks, Roy. That was a great summary. Thank you. And Ros, just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do at AHDB.
Thanks, John. I head up the education team at AHDB that includes Elsa Healy and Sue Lawton. I've worked in education for AHDB since 2005, so it is a real passion for me. And it's about educating our teachers and making sure that they feel confident in delivering messages around food. So on a day-to-day basis, that includes working closely with Roy and his education team on the Food A Fact of Life programme. And we've been using the last few weeks, as we've not been able to kind of meet personally, but we've been having a lot of video calls like everybody else, planning what we're going to be delivering over the next year. And that's been looking at what resources we can add to the Food A Fact of Life website to really enhance it. And also in terms of what we can do with teacher training. So both in terms of online, but also when we can meet face to face, conferences and physical events. And also about how we can spread the word to more teachers. And that's something that everybody listening at home can really help us with in terms of spreading that message.
OK, well, thank you very much to you both for sparing the time to join us on this podcast. You're both very welcome. So let's try and get some context around this then. Let's put some facts and stats around perhaps the number of teachers that we're working with or the number of school settings and the materials, what parents can access. Ros, perhaps tell us where do people go for information?
So the website is the place to go, and the web address for that is foodafactoflife.org.uk. And on there, you'll find our full programme covering food. And there's three main areas that we cover on the programme, and that's healthy eating, it's cooking, and it's also where food comes from. And on there, you'll find a wealth of resources covering those areas. So anything from recipes, we have over 300 recipes. We have activity sheets, we have quizzes, everything really. And what we've tried to do is make it as user-friendly as possible. So everything's editable, and as I say, making it easy. And in terms of kind of numbers, over the last year, we've had over 300,000 users to our website. The other area is after our teacher training. And in the last year, we've reached over thousands of teachers with that training program. So anything from conferences through to webinars and online training courses.
And John, can I just chip in?
Yeah, do. Yeah, please do.
Yeah, because I think that Ros has really done that really nicely. I think the other really important thing for your listeners to know is that it's all based around the curriculum. So it's really supporting what teachers have to teach and what we want kids to learn. And so we've really carefully been through. And when you look at the curriculum, whether it's in England, Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland, it really does come down to those three key areas. And I think your listeners will be really keen to understand that where food comes from is an integral part of this. And we've been looking at that. So whether you're 3 years old or 16 years old, we've got themes running right the way through, covering the different sectors that AHDB represents.
And with homeschooling, which I've sort of referenced, and the fact that, you know, we're facing a new normal, have we seen a greater uptake on the number of visitors to the site, or, you know, how have things changed because, you know, many schools are not operating as they would normally be operating?
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, we're delighted with the response. So we launched the first wave of resources back on the 30th of March. And for a small website, you remember this website is only for teachers in schools. But on that day, we had 6,000 people coming to the website, which was really good for us for a small, very focused website. Yeah. And if you look on just the months before or even the years before, there's a huge surge of interest. And where you might think schools are closed, the website would be, you know, decreasing and less visitors. In fact, what we're finding is that more people are coming to the website and more resources are being downloaded. And that's because both BNF and AHDB have been proactive and launched a remote learning area, which has lots of information. And in fact, in the next couple of weeks, on the 1st of June, we're having the next wave of resources all around where food comes from.
I mean, just to pick up on that, and this may be a bit of a basic question, but why is it important that children understand where food comes from your perspective at the BNF, Roy?
Yeah, it's always an interesting one because people think, well, you're working nutrition. Yeah, as you say, why worry about where food comes from? But it's about that holistic understanding that as a person, it's good to know. Okay, yes, it's good to know that when you eat something, it might have an effect on your body. So energy and nutrients. But you need to know how that's being prepared and how to cook it. And therefore, the part of that story is, where does it come from? And how does it get on your plate? And how does it get to the supermarket? So to me, it's one of those intrinsic parts of learning. A few years ago, for BNF Healthy Eating Week, we did a large survey, which AHDB was involved with. And we had about 26,000 kids take part. And it won't surprise you to hear that a lot of them thought that cheese grew on a plant, cows laid eggs and so forth. And I think what we're trying to do is to remind people, children and adults, that actually, you know, food has to be grown, it has to be reared, it has to be caught. And there are people out there doing this job. And I think with COVID-19, I think it really has put a focus on our farmers and millers and other producers, as well as supermarkets and so forth. And that's showing that food, its origins, how it's produced, is really important to make sure we can cook at home and we can have a healthy diet.
Yeah, I mean, if there were any good to come out of this sort of dreadful pandemic, then perhaps this is one of the things where we've been able to focus on where food comes from and the great job that farmers are doing for us. So, Ros, how long have AHDB been involved with the programme, and how many sort of teachers and children do you think we've really reached?
So in terms of our involvement with Food and Facts of Life, we got involved with Roy and the BNF back in 2018. But in terms of AHDB's involvement in education, we've actually been involved through AHDB and the levy boards previous to that for over 20 years. So I mentioned before that myself, I've been involved since 2005. And previously we ran sector specific education programmes, which were great. But 2017, we did a big review about how we deliver education. And what we realised was actually we were potentially competing for the same time of those busy teachers. And actually we thought there was a much better way of doing this. And that's when we started talking to Roy, who actually we've been working with in one form or another for many years. But actually, we came together because we realised by coming together, we could actually reach more teachers and have more of an impact by working together. And Roy mentioned at the beginning in terms of the curriculum, and that was really key in terms of when we reviewed how we approached education, because we wanted to maximise the opportunities on the existing curriculum. And as Roy says, there are actually a lot of opportunity where we can weave in those messages and cover, you know, food in a creative way that meets numeracy objectives and also literacy objectives as well. So it is cross-curricular in what we're doing. So that's when we kind of came together, and so it was much more about having an impact. And actually, we've been recently reviewing what we've been able to achieve in the last couple of years that we've been working together. And actually, that's been a testament to that. We've seen users to our websites increase. And in terms of people using the resources, we've seen over 600,000 downloads of resources. So, you know, that shows us that, you know, people are using them and they are making a difference in the classroom.
There's clearly a steep hill to climb if, you know, as Roy was telling us, that the survey shows that some children believe that cows lay eggs and so on. So this is just an ongoing project all the time, isn't it? We presumably you're just not able to take your foot off the gas at all.
Yeah, absolutely. It is an ongoing programme, and hence why we've been committed to it for such a long time. And I think also what's been really key is working in partnership. So obviously we've been working very closely with Roy and BNF. But in terms of our education programme, we also work closely with those in the wider industry and our education colleagues within that. So, for example, we work with NFU, we work with Leaf Education, because what we've been really keen to do is make sure that our education programme doesn't duplicate the great work that's happening there. It's actually complementary. So as I say, we work closely with other colleagues because the challenge is vast. So it's really in terms of focusing in where we can make a difference. So as we say, we're focusing around kind of food and nutrition through the Food A Fact of Life programme. And equally, we work with other resources. So we're a funder and a partner of Countryside Classroom, which is a resource hub for teachers as well. And again, there you'll find resources from Food A Fact of Life.
And that goes across all of the sectors that AHDB work with?
Yeah, absolutely. The programme covers all the sectors. So if you go on the website, you'll find whether it's around with beef, lamb and pork, you'll find information there in terms of how animals are reared. We cover welfare and animal welfare and environmental elements as well. Whether you're interested in potatoes, you can find out about different varieties of potatoes and how they're grown. On cereals, we cover in terms of how bread's made and the milling and also the growing process as well. And then from a horticultural point of view, we also cover, you know, a vast array. So one of the great things I like is actually for some of the earlier years, which is some dot-to-dot pictures, which actually work really well in the current kind of setting when people are working, teaching at home. So, you know, there's some really good resources that kind of cover the whole kind of age group from 3 to 16. And also kind of dairy, we cover resources as well. So if you want to learn about in terms of the milking process, there's videos on there, and then there's quizzes as well in terms of where you can kind of test your knowledge. And I think in terms of bringing the stories to life, what we've done really well with our conferences, for example, and thinking back to the conference that we delivered just earlier this year in February, when we had there Abby Reader, so a dairy farmer from Glamorgan, and we also had Duncan Munro, who's a miller. And what we found from the teachers was that you can't beat listening and hearing and speaking to food producers directly and hearing their passion. And actually what that translated to was we had teachers telling us that they felt much more confident delivering those food to fork messages in the classroom, which is absolutely what we're about.
So, Roy, Ros speaks very enthusiastically there in terms of how those messages are being received. And just from a nutrition point of view, though, I wonder what's BNF getting out of this? What's the key deliverable as far as you're concerned?
I think the all along since we've been involved in this, and actually the origins of Feed A Fact to Life was back in the 1989 and launched in 1991. But it was really at that time to ensure that if teachers were going to teach food and nutrition, and I mean in a broad context, was that they should have somewhere to go to get correct evidence-based and accurate information, and using case studies that reflect the UK. And I think that's really important. And as times have moved on with the internet, I mean, I'm talking about pre-internet times, if people can remember that, when the original resources came out, they were VHS cassettes and board games, which I've still got a passion for, I must admit. But things have changed. But really, five quick things. I mean, one, we all got to know that we need food and it's a basic requirement. And I think we all should enjoy and celebrate food too. That there's some science that underneath that, whether that's from agriculture, whether that's in cooking or whether that's in nutrition, that there are also, we need to know about how our food is produced and processed, and whether that's domestically or whether that's through the food industry and through farming and agriculture and so forth. That we also need to remember that food's more than food. It impacts on our soul, our culture, our the economy, our social aspects to life. And then when you wrap all of that up, it's about doing something with it that's meaningful. So it's about making those good choices. So, for example, it might be if you're going shopping, you know what the red tractor symbol means. You can read a food label. You can look at the nutrition. You can take it home. You can cook something nice and tasty for yourself, your family or your friends. And you know it's going to do you something good because, you know, it's part of a good, variable, healthy, balanced diet. So I think they're the key things for me.
And we've made a couple of references to homeschooling, and obviously there are lots of, you know, mums and dads that are doing their best, but they're probably quite possibly struggling a little bit to both to entertain children, but also to educate children. These resources are on the Food of Factor Life website. They're available to mums and dads, and they're free, are they?
Yeah, absolutely. So everything is free. You just go on and pick and choose what you think would be most appropriate for your home, your kids. We've tried to make sure there's a good mixture of things on there too, covering, as Roz mentioned, different curriculum areas. So it's not all just around, say, like what people might perceive as, if I use an old fashioned word, like domestic science or home economics or that kind of stuff. There's activities around geography, math, science, physical education, and so forth. But we've also put some advice on for parents and carers too, because we know that, you know, they're under lots of other stresses and strains, let alone having to be the surrogate teacher suddenly. So we've got some top tips and advice really for them. And, you know, once we've gone through all of that, one of our other top tips is please don't beat yourself up. You know, well done. It's not easy, but keep going. But there's lots of advice and support. And as you rightly say, John, it's all free.
Excellent. OK. Roz, I wonder whether you can give us some sort of practical examples of how children have got involved with some of the programmes. Are there any sort of case studies that you could share with us?
Yeah, absolutely. So AHDB runs the Grow Your Own Potatoes initiative, which has been running since 2004, and it's a hugely successful program. And some of its success is in its simplicity. Essentially, we're providing kits into schools that they can grow potatoes. So this year we've sent in over 13,000 kits into schools, and we reckon since 2004 we've actually reached 5 million children. The programme is very much delivered in partnership with the potato industry. So all the seed provided is provided by the industry. And this year we've also been working with McCain's, who've sponsored the programme. Now, obviously, with the move with schools being closed, we were actually concerned in terms of whether those kits that we'd sent out into schools were actually, not doing so well in school, not cared for. So we've actually just done a survey out to the 13,000 people with the kits. And actually, we've been hugely kind of impressed in terms of the provisions that have been put in place. So as you'll know, some schools are open with kind of key workers, children at school. So some of them are looking after the potatoes. We also know that some of the potatoes have been taken home by individual children who are updating the rest of the class. So we've been really heartened by the response that we've had and the passion that we've got back in terms of that people have been really committed to continue to grow their potatoes, even in these challenging kind of conditions.
There's some pretty impressive numbers there then, in terms of reaching 5 million children. And are there any other ways that we're able to measure the successes of food, a fact of life? I mean, is there, Roy, is there anything that you're able to share with us that sort of shows that we're really making a difference?
Yeah, I mean, since we've been working in partnership with AHDB, it's, for Ros and I, it's been a real focus because, one, we have to report back to levy payers, but also to my trustees and broader people. And what we've been doing in this particular year is really focusing on what impact is our training having on teachers. Is it changing what they do back in the classroom? Is it changing the resources that they produce themselves? Are they using what we provide? And we've been doing that consistently throughout. So whether it's a face-to-face event, do you remember those? Or whether it's an online, so that might be a webinar or a modular online training. And what we've been doing is doing the evaluation on the day, like most people do. But what we've then been doing is going back to them 3 months later and saying, hello, do you remember coming to this training event? If so, what have you done, if anything? And what's been really interesting on that is around about 8 in 10 teachers have told us that they definitely have updated their resources or lessons as a consequence of coming along on a Food a Fact of Life training. We also ran a lot of practical workshops because we felt that some teachers needed to, improve their practical skills. They may not have used different types of foods before, for example. So we had different types of red meat, potatoes, cereals, dairy and fruit and vegetables, for example. 96% really rated those workshops as excellent and would make a difference to them. And then when we asked them about, okay, so you received that training yourself in your school, have you shared it with anybody else, any other colleagues? About 2/3 basically said, yes, I have used it and I will be using it with other people. And then another 12% basically said, well, I will, I'm going to plan to do that. So what we're seeing very slowly is our training is having an impact on what teachers do in the classroom and the resources they provide. They think and they rate the workshops and training as excellent, and actually they are cascading it to other people. So when we might say, yes, we've worked with 1,000 teachers or whatever the number might be, actually that's the people that we've reached directly. It's the cascade approach that we're going to look at trying to capture next year, as well as looking into what are the impacts of the resources having in the classroom. So that's year 3. That's a new impacts research we're going to be doing.
And Ros, I mean, Food a Fact of Life sounds a fantastic way of informing children. So how can listeners get involved? Is there anything that you wanted to add to what Roy just said, or how can you encourage parents to get involved during these difficult times?
I think there's some really simple ways in which people can get involved. I think one of the key things is that share the link and spread the word in terms of Food a Fact of Life. The website link is foodafactoflife.org.uk. And obviously, if you're homeschooling, use the resources and tell your friends about them as well. Again, help spread the word. And let schools know as well. So I know many of you will be parents with children at school. So please, let your school know in terms of resources, because that really helps in terms of getting the word out more widely.
Great. So there you are, listeners. Take a look at the Food a Fact of Life website. Thank you to my guests, Ros Reynolds and Roy Ballam. Thanks to podcast producer Aisha Shabnam. Stay safe. Stay well. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.